morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 53 minutes today. And I want to take a moment and thank the bishop. He's a little busy now, you know, and always. But he really tries to come on once a month. And somebody said to me, when are you going to have that? I just told the bishop, when are you going to have the bishop on? I said, you know, the bishop's not at my beck and call. I'm at the bishop's beck and call. He's kind of a busy guy. But he makes time for us out here. And Bishop, it's good to know one last breaking news. We are now almost the entire county. We've opened up another station in Lee.
Wow, good news.
Yeah, Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge, West Stockbridge.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We've Sean Sayre, our executive director, he's worked so hard with our Anthony Lapora with the lawyers, dotting the T, you know, I's and crossing the T's. But yes, so now more people will hear you and me. And I'm not a big deal, but you are. I do have a couple of announcements to make. And if I don't make them, Bishop, you'll know why I will be in trouble. Okay, because you'll understand when you hear them. All right. Mass for all St. Joseph's alumni and faculty, living and deceased, 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 19th at St. Joseph's Church on the North Street. All are invited. And this is from Sister Jean. I told you, I'll take care of you, sister. The other is the 2025 bingo at St. Mary's School on Orchard Street in Lee is starting March 8th and going through 4:12, 5:10, 6:14. Doors open at 12:30. Game starts at 2. Come support the children of St. Mary's, and you know I do. You know all the Catholic schools I support. Full bingo program, charitable lottery games, great bingo cash, multiple door prizes, snacks, drinks, all the good stuff. Excuse me. I'm sorry. So there we are. Now, Bishop, we can move forward.
Important stuff is done.
The important stuff is...
You don't want Sister Jean mad at you, all right?
I'd rather you mad at me. first of all, thank you for coming on the program. And as we know, this Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday. And here we are in another Lenten season. And, you know, going back to my days at St. Charles School, Lent was, while it was it was very important time. The good nuns made it real for people. And I know you last year when I had you on, you did the same. So many people said, boy, the bishop was inspiring. And I said, well, that's why he gets the big bucks. But what's your take on Lent? I mean, you last year you were magnificent.
Well, I think the goal is to be magnificent.
Yeah.
You know, is to be the best you. You know, we often wonder, people say, you know, what's the secret to happiness? And the secret to happiness, I think, is living excellently, living today in an excellent way. Every day, just trying your best.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what the life of virtue is. The faith, hope, and love we get in our baptism. And then the other virtues like courage and friendship and kindness and fortitude, all these things that if we try to live today, making sure that we don't sweat the small stuff and pick the wrong fights, that if we try to live the day with kindness and some humility and gratitude, we're going to have a great day. So Lent is, I think, especially important because it just lets us, you know, you take your, every once in a while, you need to take a knife and sharpen it. And when you do, you realize how dull it was. When you suddenly can cut through the, you know, your chicken or whatever better. And that's what this is about, honing honing ourselves for an excellent day, for an excellent life.
Yeah.
So there are three major areas that the church gives us to reflect on and to practice. Those are fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And we tend to put the fasting first because everyone likes to talk about what they gave up for Lent, you know? And while that's very, very important, I think that the prayer is the most important part because it makes sense of the fasting.
Yeah.
And I think it also, the fasting helps us then maybe to recognize the stuff that we don't need
All right.
so that we can give to the people that have nothing. And so we give to those who are poor among us, and that's the opportunity. They all hang together. It's got to be,
Yeah.
it's not just one.
And sister used to tell us, it's fine to give, and you should, like you said, fasting and give it, sacrifice, but also works of charity, and I think you just said that in another way, giving to people who don't have what you have.
Right. Exactly. You know, the because it because then you also realize how much we have.
That's it.
And you know, it t turns it upside down into gratitude. And I really think that that of all the things that we need to continually ask God for is a grateful heart. To recognize how blessed we are these days. Even if eggs are $9 a dozen or whatever, okay, well,
Right, yeah.
it's hard. It's hard. I'm not
Yeah.
saying that life isn't hard, but some people don't even have those options, and that's
I
what.
know. I know. And I think what I try to remind myself and my wife, and I really do try to do this, is if we're not wearing something, or like say in my case, I outgrew it, not because of age, but because of weight. We donate it. We and put it in the boxes at the churches,
Right.
and because everybody gets help there. But the other thing that I have to share this with you because I think you can realize it. When in Vietnam, we got a new second lieutenant. And he wanted to join the group. Well, you want to belong, especially in a place like that. But we all came as a unit. So he was an anomaly. And we had this sergeant whose mother was Attila the Hun and father was Satan.
Right.
He was not warm and cuddly. So the lieutenant came up and said, "Sergeant, I guess over here we live one day at a time." And the sergeant, just as rude and crude and socially unacceptable as he was, says, "Sir, with a scrawl, over here we live one step at a time." The kid turned white and walked away. But that's kind of how I've tried to live my life. In the past 6 months, I've lost my brother. I've lost two of my very favorite bosses. And so who knows what the next step brings? So I try to, what is it, live in the grace of God, in the presence of God?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're living each day to its fullest, if it's your last day, well, then it was a
Yeah.
great day.
Yeah.
Because we don't, none of us knows. And none of us knows what day we're going to be called on.
Yep.
And so, you know, we expect it to be longer than it is, and maybe it will. My mom next week turns 102.
God love her.
And I'm sure she never planned to be around at 102. I'm not sure she's as conscious of being 102 as as we are, but this is where God wants her to be, and this is where she is.
Yeah, and I think today with all the materialism and all the negativity and the meanness, There's always been negativity, but I've never really realized the meanness in people until recently. And I try to be the clown on the radio, and every time I believe me, I get some pushback on this because I always wish at the end of the show, as you well know, God bless and let's take care of each other because each other, that's all we have.
Right.
And I get pushback for that, you know. Some
Well, yeah.
God and country, or you know, dude.
You know, the it is true. I feel like we've lost a certain level of civility and
Exactly.
you know, I think part of the thing that happened is that the things that our mothers taught us, open the door for people, stand up when an adult walks in the room.
Yeah.
I was at a school saying mass, and as I was leaving, these were high school kids, as I was they were leaving, not one of them was saying hello to me. First of all, this is the generation that, you know, their middle school was stuck at home with COVID.
Right.
They were zooming in, so they kind of lost a little time in the social thing.
Yeah.
But I just stopped them all and I said, "Stop, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Hello to me. Say hello." And then I said to the principal, I was like, "You have to teach these kids how to say hello to people. Look them in the eye, shake their hand." And I think when we lost that capacity of letting people through the door before ourselves, or
Yeah.
helping somebody with a chair, or being taking their coat, all these little itty bitty things, it wore away the bigger issues of like
Yes.
how to be a nice human being. And you know, and to stand up and take the person's plate next to you when you're going to the kitchen. Yeah, I mean, it's like it all boils down to that. But I think that the lack of kindness comes from our lack of manners. You know, I think we've forgotten that.
There's a book, and I know you've got a lot of spare time to read books, but it's called Anxious Generation, and it's focusing on what you're just saying. Now, the Polish princess and I went out to eat at 99 because we're big spenders. And there's a table across from us of five. Mom, dad, three kids. They're all on their phones. Nobody's talking.
Great.
In my house, 5 o'clock, you're at the table. Mom had supper prepared, dad, everybody was there. And if you wanted to really set my father off like a shotgun, if he said, "What did you do in school today?" If you said nothing, watch
Right.
out. But.
My dad often had to work late. So my mom would feed us, you know, and get our homework done. And then when he'd get home from work, we'd be all in our pajamas, but she'd have us sit at the dinner table with him
Yeah.
while she gave him dinner, so that we would have FaceTime with him, but also have conversation
Yeah.
and realize the value of asking somebody how their day was and then caring about the answer.
Yes.
You
Being
know?
listening. That the key thing I found in working with violent youthful offenders is we don't listen. We don't listen.
Right.
Because sometimes they talk in code. Example, "Hey, Dad, can I go to so and so's party tonight?" Oh, no, it was, "Hey, Dad, I can't go to so and so's party tonight, right?" Right. So after, when you question, say, "Why'd you phrase it like that?" He said, "Because there were going to be," and this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, "there were going to be kids there that I didn't want to be around that I'm not sure of."
Right.
So I can be the oaf, you know?
Right.
Blame
I
me.
also think that you were going back to Lent and what's important. Maybe we should give up talking for Lent and take up listening.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also part of the prayer. You know, when we talk about prayer, and what does that mean? Adding more prayer. What is that? Just sitting there saying another rosary, or what does it mean? And a lot of times people don't know how to listen to God.
Excellent.
And so it's as simple as taking the Bible, if you want to do the readings of the day, or if you want to just do Bible bingo and flip it around until you find a verse, or start with, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or if you're of the Jewish faith, start with Psalms or,
All right.
Kings and hear the stories and read a little bit and then stop and ponder and let it float around and see what jumps out at you.
Yeah.
It has a fancy name. It's called Lectio Divina, which means divine reading, but it really is just like letting the Bible, whatever sacred text you're reading, sort of be available to you.
Right.
And in that moment, in those moments when we read the Bible and we're quiet, God wants to talk to us. So it's almost as if the Bi that moment, the Bible was written just for you to read that point that day.
Yeah.
Because that's what God wants to do.
I think you're right. And too often we and I don't mean this to be a negative comment, but too often as Catholics, we weren't my generation, and I'm older than you, weren't brought up. The only Bible we heard were the readings. Now I think today it's different. I know people, I know two or three people who've Catholics, friends of ours, who've read the Bible from cover to cover.
Well, there's an excellent, excellent podcast. I don't know if you ever do podcasts,
Well,
but on people, for those who aren't familiar with them, on your smartphone, there's a little button that says podcasts. And it's like little radio shows that people put together, and they're on history or religion or any topic you could think about. Somebody's out there putting it on, and most of them don't cost a thing.
right.
And there's a priest called Father Mike Schmitz. Father Mike Schmitz is out of Duluth. And he has these sort of movie star good looks like you and me, Bill.
I know.
Except
Go to
he's
the
got,
same hairstylist as we
yeah,
do.
no, he's got something called hair.
Oh, wow.
That's not peach fuzz from 40 years ago. But the or Sweaterland, that the but it's he has a thing which is called the Bible in a Year. And what you do is it's 20, I said, well, not more than 20 minutes, the Bible in a Year, Father Mike Schmitz. And what you do is you listen to this and you read a little bit of the Bible, a couple different places, and then he gives a really good reflection on it. That'd be a great thing to do for Lent if you're looking for something to do. And if you're not sure how to do podcasts, go tackle a 20-year-old and they'll explain it to you.
Or 12,
Yeah,
year.
or 12 or anything, but
But the while we're doing that, I saw this guy that I know casually. He was talking about his relationship with his dog and how that kind of mirrored life. You might know him. He hangs around down there in the Chancery down there in Springfield. He's got some big job. Oh, it's you. It's
oh,
the
that's
bishop.
great. Yeah.
That I've watched that probably five or six times. Just it makes so much sense. You've brought, it's one thing the theologians and some of the guys on TV and stuff like that. They're up here. Well, I'm here. I'm boots on the ground kind of guy.
Right.
And I mean this as a compliment, Bishop. Please take it as that. You relate to the ordinary boots on the ground
Well,
person.
that's good because that's where I live also.
I
For those who
know.
are listening, it's part of my book, Five Things with Father Bill. And the first chapter is Five Things I Learned from My Dog. And just to give you an example, when I say to my dog, let's go and get in the car, She doesn't, my Zelly doesn't ask me where we're going, how long we're going to be there, or how long we're going to take. She just
Will there
jumps
be
in the
lunch?
car. Yeah, well, there'll be lunch. She just jumps in the car and is ready to go. And I say, we need to be like that with God. God says, let's go. And you're like, well, I don't know. I want to think about it, you know. And he's like, no, we need to go. Or here's another one. When I have to go out and Zelly's at home and I come home,
Yeah.
she's happy to see me. She's not
Yeah.
slamming doors or acting petulant or being passive aggressive. And so often we need to just be grateful when we're with people and not be spending time thinking of the things that we didn't, our slights, instead
Wow.
of thinking of the graces that we've received and the blessings that we have. So.
I Bishop, I mean this as a compliment. You bring religion to the common man at the base level. And I'm not putting others down. I'm sure they're wonderful theologians, but I have this son. He takes a lot, just like his mother. But when he was in Catholic school, fifth or sixth grade, a priest was there teaching Catholic school. And he asked this question. He said, "Father," and he wasn't a smart guy, a smart aleck. He's a smart guy, but he said, "Father, Jesus spoke in parables to the uneducated people of his time. Yet we have theologians telling us what Jesus said, when it's pretty simple what Jesus said." He got in trouble. I had to go into the school.
First of all, that's a pretty amazing question for a fifth grader.
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Sturgeon children are brighter than your average, isn't it true?
They take after their mother,
I was
believe
going
me.
to say they
Yeah.
must, but it is true. It's like that's what yesterday's gospel, which we heard last Sunday, the eighth Sunday in ordinary time, was all about Jesus sort of being very funny, saying, take the beam out of your own eye before you
Right.
go for the little speck in somebody else's eye. I mean, that's a funny image of somebody walking around with a log pointing out everybody else's faults. And the hard part about preaching that is that it's so obvious. What Jesus is telling us is not any it's so obvious. I think though what we have to try and figure out is how to help people figure out how to do that, how to get rid of their beams, you know, and look inside themselves and
To me too, it's delivery. You know, we have a couple of very wonderful priests that we frequent, the Polish princess and I. You know, Father Matt Barone, he's the new pastor at St. Charles. I have to say, what a wonderful man, what a wonderful priest he is, and what he's breathed new life into that parish. And Father Steve, out in Sacred Heart, Monasanti, and there's so many good people that are in the priesthood and relate, and that's what though. And there's others. I don't mean to slight anybody. They just come to mind, and anything that comes in this mind is really scary. But what do you think? What if you had to give advice? What would you say is some guidelines for Lent? And I know you said fasting and prayer, but sometimes it's telling people how to.
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, if you aren't planning on going to church every Sunday, I mean, I'm not talking about people that are physically unable to do
Right.
that, but like in that, I always said this when I was in parishes as a parish priest. I was like, if you come up to get ashes and you don't plan on going to Sunday Mass, don't bother. Like, God's not going to be mocked. Don't go walking around like you're part of the Catholic Club. And still don't go to church. So, I mean, that might seem a little harsh, but it is true. And I had a guy once when I was at the University of Maryland. This is 20 something years ago. I told him Ash Wednesday, I said, if you are not planning on going to Mass next Sunday, don't bother. So he sat up, he said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to get my ashes and I'm going to go to Mass next Sunday. And then he said, well, I should go the following Sunday and he should go the following Sunday. And then he said, well, maybe I'll try this daily Mass thing and maybe I'll go to confession. And he hadn't been to Mass since he had been confirmed as an eighth grader. And now he's the pastor in he's a pastor in Poolesville, Maryland,
Oh,
of
wow.
a church there. So
What a beautiful story.
he ended up becoming a priest. So number one, go to Mass, go to services, whatever your denomination is, meet God where He is, not just where you want Him to be.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And another one I think is have a sense of humor. You know, the enjoy St. Patrick's Day, enjoy a St. Joseph pastry or whatever it is.
Right.
But then on the other Fridays, watch out. Don't go forgetting about your no meat. And if you're a vegan, give up your tofu or whatever it is, you know? But we've got to make a sacrifice just like our Lord did to make Friday an intentional day. You know,
Right.
we often hear, Bill, in the world of what's called mindfulness, sort of like living an intentional life. I like to call it soulfulness, that we live a life where we are conscious of our soul and what the Lord is calling us to, and so live soulfully, but it's got to be joyful. It's got to be joyful. I think another thing though is we really do need to be intentional about our care for the poor and for those around us. And however you feel like the Lord is calling you to do it, you know, I don't give to panhandlers, but that's me. I've sort of figured I'd rather give to the annual Catholic appeal and have that money go in a very effective way
Yeah.
to the poor, and to the services and to education and to all the good things that I want to do, than it is to give somebody. But there is a guy that I occasionally will give. He's an older man down here in the valley in Springfield, and he's got a sign. I mean, he must be in his 70s, I would say at least. And the sign says, I need money for booze and pot. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was
Oh,
like, okay, well, there you go. That's honest.
it is. Yeah, I've been taught it back from being a police officer. You're not doing them any good or helping them in any way by giving them money because you just heard of two things that they may buy with it. Whereas I'm a big one for the Salvation Army, and I'm going to tell you why. In Vietnam, they were terrific. They didn't ask, all they asked is that you take a little teeny New Testament. And if you say, well, I already have one, and I found out when I emptied my rucksack, I had four of them. But they would give you the coffee. They would give and all they asked you to do was to take that and read it. And you know other organizations were there. I'm not going to mention them, but they would sell you the coffee and the donuts.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think you're right. And you know, my mother, whenever an ambulance would go by, God rest her soul, she'd bless herself. Whenever a fire truck could go by, and those kinds of things, they stick in your mind.
Right. I do the same thing when I see an ambulance or when I pass a cemetery,
Yep.
I say a little prayer for the dead. And every time I pass a Catholic church, I cross myself because our Lord
We
is
do
right
too.
here
Yeah.
in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to take a quick break. I'm here in This, I don't know. I hope you're all enjoying this as much as I am. This is Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield. That's from the Vatican. We've made him the Bishop of the Berkshire County. That's from this program. I don't want the Pope to get angry. But we'll say a prayer for the Pope before we end the day. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Lent is here. It's today. And let's start it on the right foot. Bishop is giving us wonderful advice to make Lent real, not just something you do because you always have done it. Make it real, and he's doing that, and he's real. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 FM on your radio dial, WTBR, and we're also broadcasting on 88.1 down there in Southern Berkshire FM. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, folks, we are back. I am honored and privileged to have with me the Bishop of Springfield, William Byrne. He spends a lot of time out here in the Berkshires, so that's why this show is called him the Bishop of the Berkshires. The Vatican and the Pope made him Bishop of Springfield.
That's right.
He really did. He's the real meal deal. But here's the thing, and everybody who's interfaced with him at all, interacted at all, he's real. He's real. He's not pompous. He's got so many people, I think, coming back to church, doing all the things that we should do. And by God, I'm as guilty as all the rest of them. My feet are made of clay, trust me. But Bishop, welcome back. And again, I was saying in the beginning of the show, people said, when are you going to have the bishop on? When are you going to have the bishop on? And I have to tell him, Bishop's kind of a busy dude. Like, was in Rome, and then you were just at a big conclave out there in somewhere in the States here.
Right. Well, I do. I also sit on a bunch of committees for the bishops in the United States. So last year I was elected chairman of communications for the country. So that keeps me out of trouble. But we were talking before on the break about Meatless Fridays.
Right.
And I remember my mom telling me a story of a little boy. My dad's oldest brother was a priest, and he was down visiting. So dear friends of my mom and dad had Father John and them over for dinner. And these people were lovely people and wanted to put on a nice steak dinner. And they forgot completely that it was Friday in Lent. And so they all sat down there. My mother and my father look to Father John as the steak is plopped down in front of him. And he looks at them, winks, gives the steak a blessing, and picks up his steak knife and starts cutting away.
Yeah.
The worst than eating meat would be to embarrass the hostess.
Right.
You know? And I think... that goes back to our manners conversation.
Right.
I think that this, that we need to work on that. As so, you know, like you said, your father asked you what you did in school.
Yeah.
Nothing is not an answer.
Right.
You know?
And is the church, I sent an article to Father Matt Barone. The people are coming back to the church, coming back to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there was an article about that in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, and I've met the Globe probably grabbed it from there. But don't you think it's because of the way of the world?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the inevitable track. It's a, you know, when you look at like in the French Revolution and the terrors after the, you know, Robespierre and they're hanging nuns from the and priests from the street poles and forbidding church is when some of the greatest saints emerged in the church.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Cristeros movement in Mexico and they basically when they outlawed Catholicism, confiscated all the property in the 1920s and horrible persecution. But from that came amazing saints. Augustine Pro, one of the few saints where we actually have a photograph of his martyrdom.
Wow.
Strapped to a fence and they shoot him. And what is he screaming? Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. You know, it's in times when we're most lost when the Lord sends us incredible people to show us the way.
Yeah.
And in this age, you know, and you know what? The people that show us the way are not politicians. They're not red and blue. They are white of saints. And so we see incredible, you know, the popes that we've had, the people like Mother Teresa, all these people every single day getting up and doing amazing work.
I met a priest in Vietnam, a Vietnamese priest, who was had from his first set of knuckles on his right hand chopped off up to here by the North NVA to make him denounce his faith, and he wouldn't do it.
Wow.
And I'm saying, wait a minute, I got to get up and go to 7 o'clock mass. It's a big deal. I got both arms.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes, Bishop, it's wonderful that we remember these sufferings that so many people have made for this faith. And to remember the guy who died on the cross, the unbelievable, you know, people get upset when they get embarrassed or humiliated. Look at what they did to him, and he was the Son of God.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have to share this with you. Maybe you can breathe some sense in the folks. Over Thanksgiving, and I know it was a way back, but it's still going on. I had several people not go to their relative's house because one voted for this one or that one or this one or that one. And I engaged a person who said, I'm not going to go. My brother-in-law, he's an idiot. He voted for her. Okay. I said, well, I think you should because nobody's going to guarantee your brother-in-law's here next year. I just lost my brother
right
on Thursday. And he had no intentions of leaving. So,
right.
How do we help people get through these pains, these slights, this I don't know what it is even.
Well, I think the only way, I mean, I think there's people have got to figure that out themselves. I don't have the capacity to help, but I can't control other people's emotions, actions, or anything, but
I know
mine. And I can meet the world with kindness. You know, I mean, that's what I find so distressing is in our political discourse is the lack of kindness.
Yes.
And
hate.
Civility. And you just say, this is how we treat one another. And yet we're supposed to be the greatest nation in the world. And you're like, and we, I think, and it's not limited to one party. It's across the gamut, and
Oh.
I find it distressing. And so but we have to stand up for kindness in our world and not permit that to be the case. You know, it's interesting because some of the kindest people that I've met have been in jail.
Yeah.
You know, the people that the world says, and not just the inmates, but also our sheriffs,
Yeah.
the deputies, all these people, the deacons. We've got Deacon George going, and there was Mary Morrell, who's can't do it anymore, but 90 something years old, but was going down to lead Bible studies up at the Berkshire jail.
Oh yeah,
Mary Morrell.
Mosley, Billy,
Moseley,
Mary
Moseley, yeah,
Mosley.
it's Moseley.
Mary just got home. She had a little stint there, and
I visited her. I visited her in the rehab.
oh, good, all good.
Mary Moseley, I don't know why I thought of. Oh, I was thinking George Morrell. He's the deacon.
Yeah.
But that's the and you just say to yourself, wow, that you want to know what's going to transform hearts? Kindness. In
Yeah.
a place where you'd think you'd find the least amount is where I've found some of the greatest. So hats off to all of
Yeah.
those folks.
Well, you know, Mary Mosley's husband, Bill,
Yeah,
was
the
a
deacon.
deacon, one of the very first in the diocese. Bill was also a survivor of the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Every December I would have Bill on, and every December late December would be Bill, and early December would be Chet Stoklosa, who was a survivor of Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah, but you're right. That was my career field. I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and that's where I learned the technique of listening,
Yeah.
not formulating my answer while they're still talking, because doing that, I didn't hear what they were saying.
Right.
And you're right. You don't excuse what they did. I've had people say to me, you're a bleeding heart. Well, if you know me, some people don't think I have a heart, but I got a picture of it because I had an operation. But it's what you said early on. They've never been taught manners. They have no real role players, role models. And when you sit and you talk to them and you listen to them, it breaks your heart, but you have to be a counselor more than a broken heart. They
Right.
need somebody to be their role model. I had one kid, this sergeant in the army. He retired, master sergeant. He was working in the youthful offender program, and these were violent youthful offenders sentenced to the penitentiary because of the violence and their crime. And this one kid, the guy was a great guy. He came in this day. He had a bad day. He raised turkeys, and he had a bad day with the turkeys. And the kid, the second he came in the joint, the kid was on him like a rubber band. And he said, "Just give me 5 minutes, will you? Just give me 5 minutes." And the kid went to his cell. And the guy felt so bad, he went back to the cell, and the kid was sobbing. He said, "You're the only person, male, who's listened to me and talked to me and treated me." Now, imagine that.
Wow.
Corrections officer is the only male in a kid's life. And then you wonder why he was in there. I
Yeah.
never did. I read their files pretty succinct. And you're right, Bishop. Sometimes you find some of the nicest, caring people in some of the strangest places.
Right.
You know?
LaSalle, Saint. Was it John? What was it, Saint LaSalle, the founder of the Christian Brothers? The LaSalle and the Christian founder of the Christian Brothers, and he always talked to the other brothers. He said, you have to be a father, not a, you're going to give them much more of a lesson in with your kindness. And that's what I think you need to do. You know, I was driving in a Boston. I know you're probably going to find this hard to believe, and not familiar with where I was, and the GPS didn't seem accurate to me. And then all of a sudden I had to like get in an exit and pull over. And I'm not that person who cuts in, goes up to the end and cuts in. I'd rather be 5 minutes late than you know. And the person who was not letting me in was filled with such rage. I mean, it wasn't like I had, you know, went and socked his grandmother in the nose, but that was what the reaction was. Yeah. And I thought, well, what a horrible thing to be, to have rage be so close that it erupts immediately. And I don't know what was going on in his day, but it made me very sad for that person. Yeah. And I thought, well, if you find yourself getting mad driving on Route 9 or whatever, then you're not really prepared and expecting it, because everyone's going to be cutting you off and you know, walking in front of your car and whatever. And you just need to let it go. Let it go. Let God let go. And not.
There's a lot to what you just said. If you become offended and angry and your day's ruined because somebody else is having a bad day, I've had to talk to myself, which people accuse me of being a little goofy talking to myself, but I don't mind.
No.
If I tell people, if I want to have an intelligent conversation, I talk to myself. but chill out. Don't let this affect your day.
Right. You just give them power. You're just giving them power. You know,
what's the saying? You're letting someone live in your head rent free.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we draw to a close, Bishop, could we say a prayer for the Pope?
Absolutely.
I don't know that much about medicine, but I know this. I have a lung issue, and I think double pneumonia would kill me. So he's a tough old bird, and I mean that very respectfully.
Tough old Argentinian. So we'll just pray. And we just pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are in charge of all things, and you will bring forth good from challenging times. And just as you did with your Son on the cross, brought resurrection from suffering and death. And we ask you to watch over our Holy Father, Pope Francis, give him strength and courage, give him consolation, and give him joy in the midst of his suffering. If it be your will, let him return to us as our shepherd. But guide the hands of doctors and nurses and all those with whom he is working, and his priests and sisters and lay collaborators, that your will may be done and your kingdom built through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Bishop, and Mark, I know you're off there in the hiding in the shadows. I wish you a prayerful and rewarding Lent, as Mark too. Thank you for all you have done and are doing, not only for the church in general, but for this diocese. As Father Matt breathed new life back into St. Charles, you're breathing new life back into this diocese. I just think the world of what you're doing. I really do, and you're spread like peanut butter on a jelly sandwich, but you manage to deal with it.
Excellent. And the fact is that peanut butter is loaded with fat, so I feel like it's a perfect analogy.
No, I got through survival school, peanut butter cups.
I know.
Take care of yourself, Mark. Thank you, Bill.
I can't wait to be up in the Berkshires. Hello, everybody, especially all our new listeners in the league. Great being with you.
Bishop, yeah, you're a gift to the church. You're a gift to this diocese, and you're a wonderful gift to this program. Let me say happy Lent, and you won't recognize me come Easter. I'm going to give up beets, cauliflower, and asparagus this year.
Good.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. God bless.
God bless. Thanks, Mark. All right, folks, the bishop is leaving. We're going to stay for a couple more minutes. I would ask that you take some time this Lenten period, even if you're not Catholic, the pre-time before Easter, and try to adjust our ways of dealing with people, our ways of thinking. I know some of you don't care for me personally. That's fine. Or the program. That's fine. And I know others look forward to it, and that's great. But there's no sense in being mean-spirited, hateful, and all these things. There really isn't. And I just would ask you to think about that through this Lenten period. I know it's Ramadan, and to those folks, and pretty soon it will be Passover. So all three major religions are experiencing and celebrating something to do with their religion. Let's be kind to each other. As I say every day, each other, that's all we have, really and truly. Before I go, let me read these announcements one more time for Sister Jean. Mass for all St. Joe alumni and faculty, living and deceased, 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 19th at St. Joseph's Church on North Street. All of you are invited. It's a great opportunity to rekindle old friendships, see people you probably haven't seen in a while, and go there. If you're a St. Joe graduate, faculty, or whatever, show up. It'll be cool. It really will. Also, I have to say, help support Catholic education, St. Mary's School, Orchard Street, down in, it's bingo, 2025 bingo, St. Mary's School, 115 Orchard Street, Lee, Mass., Saturday, March the 8th, spring date, 3/8, 4/12, 5/10, and 6/14. Those are the dates. Doors open at 12:30. Game start at 2. It's a new time, 2 o'clock. Come support the Children of St. Mary's. Full bingo program with charitable lottery games. Great bingo 50-50. Cash prizes can be up to $5.99. We have multiple large cash winners every time. The best and the best door prizes. 50-50 raffles, snacks, drinks available. Must be 18 or older. Come and join. Call. If you have any questions, please call 413-243-1079. And I would also say, too, that I have to take a minute and kind of at the end, but I want to thank the city employees who've been busting their butts to keep the streets clean. It's been an awful winter. This last go around, there were one awful storm after another. Here's what I would say. I know a lot of you are upset. There's a lot of potholes. There's a lot of damage to the roads. But remember, everybody's doing the best they can. And the other piece I want to say, too, is Casala trash collection. I know it's nothing is perfect, but boy, oh boy, it is really. I think they're doing a great job, and I want to thank them for their kindness and their concern. Because I watched them go up and down the side streets of where I live and down William Street, and they're very caught. And sometimes with the cars parked and everything, it's not an easy task, especially with the snowbanks. So to the people who work for Casala, thank you very much for what you do. And for my listeners, I can't thank you enough, and viewers. You've been with me, some of you, a long time, and I do my best to make the shows enjoyable, entertaining, and educational, and we'll have a few laughs along the way. Today, do something nice for somebody. Lift somebody else's load. Make them smile. Give them a call. Stop by their house. Let somebody go ahead of you. You'll be surprised. We're in this together. Without each other, it's a long road to hoe. God bless, and I'll see you when I see you. Bye-bye. Keep on.